friends? Barbies.
Oh, sick, you live in the canyon. How big is your mansion? Yeah. Fresh out of school, now you working and focus on fashion. Pretty girl, and you let go. Got time, but you got goals. Hey, baby, waste your time with me in California. Hey, baby.
Guys, welcome back.
It's Elena
and Carly for another episode of Backwoods Barbies, guys. This is episode number 3. We're so excited.
We're finally on iTunes.
Oh my god. We went through a couple trials and tribulations just to get on fucking iTunes. I don't think they liked my bio. That's what was holding us back.
No, definitely did not.
Okay, so I had a couple cuss words in it. And it said bitches and sluts. Okay? I don't feel like they should judge because the podcasts I listen to are very provocative. But anyway, yeah, we're definitely on iTunes. So subscribe. We don't know how to do the swipe up shit on Instagram yet. So, by the way, did you ever figure that out?
No, I think you have to be famous.
Okay, well, I don't know about all that.
I really do.
Let us know if you guys think you have to be famous to do the swipe up deal. That way we can link in our Instagram account and stuff like that. But we have tagged it on a lot of our social media. So, like I said, a lot of it's our secondary, and so we are always updating it. But today's episode's kind of going to be mixed personalities. But, okay, so I'm going to share a little bit of my past and my present and how I got there and how I got here. A couple people, whenever we asked what we should talk about, everyone said, gave us a couple ideas, but a big one was, Carly, you need to share your story. It's a very good one. It's a very inspirational one, and you came through hell and back, and you're finally living the life you deserve. So, here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go into graphic detail because I don't feel like that's necessary.
Right.
But I do want to give you guys a little glimpse of my past, present, and hopefully future. So let's start off by saying this. Hi, I'm Carly, and I'm an addict. On the 5th of next month, I will have 18 months clean and sober. Both of them. You hear me? Both of them. I haven't had a mind-changing, mood-altering substance since March 4th of 2018. If you know me, you know I have been up and down with this battle of addiction, and I have had a lot of failed attempts to try and get clean. Drinking wasn't necessarily a huge problem for me, but it was my backup if I didn't have anything else. My main problems was opiates. I am a very big opiate addict, and I cannot ever have them again in my life, probably. I still don't know how that's going to work, because if I ever do get like a major surgery, I can't just be like, I'll just take Tylenol. Give me the Tylenol. Like, I don't know, but we'll see, because I have turned them down on a couple occasions with like my mouth and pain from the doctor and shit like that. But, so, like I said, if you do know me, you know that I've been through a lot, and these past 10 years of trying to get clean and sober was fucking hell for me. So let's take it back a little bit. Obviously, I started partying at a very young age. All of us, group of girls, drinking and having sex on the weekends was a big part of our routines. It was. I mean, kind of like how we talked about on prior episodes. I mean, we didn't have anything else to do besides get fucked up. And, I mean, for God's sakes, I remember one night, we were 14 years old, and my friend stole her grandma's car.
Oh.
Yeah. From her house, went and picked me up at my mom's house. Look, I don't know what we were planning to do, like take a trip to Cali or what, but we got pulled over by the police, and Taylor's parents paid out of her fines, and she didn't have to do any community service. I had to scrape up cat shit for like 6 months, because we got pulled over with like 3 different boys in the cars. Thankfully, we weren't driving, it was one of the boys. But yeah, so we used to do stupid shit like that. And I was in a serious relationship back then. Well, whatever. I thought I was in love. And it was a guy I lost my virginity to. And, well, he was prescribed Vicodin. And 88% of opiate addicts or heroin users start off with abusing prescription pain pills.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very much so. That's the starting cause of their addiction. So, at first, these little guys made me sick. I didn't even really like them, okay? I was like, I don't know what this is all about. He legitimately needed them for some shit he had going on. I don't know. And so that doesn't matter. But Anyway, well, when alcohol was getting boring, I started doing them, and I just got over the feeling of them making me sick. Well, eventually, I didn't know exactly, like, everyone's like, I didn't know what I was feeling. I didn't know what withdrawal was. Like, I knew what I was feeling. I knew, okay, not having these pills are making me feel like shit, okay? It got to the point where I needed them, even after that relationship. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to join the Army, and I'm going to go live my life better and become a better person and make my family happy and make myself happy, mm-hmm. right? So I joined the Army, and that stint of period of time, I was clean for 10 weeks for basic training. Obviously, I didn't do anything because you can't. But AIT, I got teeth pulled and was getting all fucked up on Percocets, snorting them off the back of toilets, and going to morning formation higher than giraffe pussy. So.
I really try not to laugh, but I have to.
It's a fact. I mean, my cheek was swollen out to Canada, but don't ever go to an Army dentist, for the love of God. But anyway, so the Army, my unit was by Indy, right? And fast forward, I started going to drill, and I decided there's nothing here for me in this town. And honestly, I came back to the same bullshit, the same addiction, and wanting the same shit. And I said, this place is getting way too hard to find. These things are getting way too expensive. I got to do something. So I moved to Indy. I moved in with a roommate who sadly passed away from an OD about 2 years ago. He was your middle class, middle-aged white male who had a cocaine and opiate problem. They found him dead in his apartment. But anyway, prior to him passing away, I moved in with him. And I found the skankiest drug dealer boyfriend I could fucking find. I swear to God, you line him up in a lineup and I'll pick him out right away. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I was spiraling downhill. And I was kind of winging it, you know what I mean? And he's like, look, bitch. He's like, I'm tired of paying for your shit. And he's like, you're going to have to figure something else out. He's like, I'm tired of seeing you sick all the time. I said, okay, well, then I'm going to go across the street. Well, across the street was heroin, you know what I mean? And I was like, I've heard about this. I've never done it. And I was like, I wasn't even really scared. I remember feeling that. I just wanted to feel better than I had at that moment in time. Because I was literally so tired of feeling like dog shit. So long story short, I got some. I took it back over to the house. And my life completely went to shit after that. I became highly addicted to that because it's a very potent drug. And eventually, I ended up leaving. That was probably the most toxic relationship I've ever been in because he was addicted to meth and crack. And that's very psychedelic drugs and make you crazy. Like, literally, you thought I was hosting a TV show about you. You're not that important, okay? You're not that important for me to host a whole fucking TV show about you. Anyway, I came home, and I'll still never forget this moment. I came home, and I was laying in my mom's bed, right? And you know the story with my parents. My parents don't really talk, and they only do what they have to. Well, I was laying on my parents' bed, and my mom was trying to ask me, what is it, Carly? Just tell me what it is. What are you on? I finally screamed it out, what I was on. Well, I was so sick, because I had been sick off opiates and pain pills, but this type of sickness is the worst feeling I have ever felt in my entire life. And I still remember my dad came over to my mom's house, and they've been separated since I was 3. I'm 26. Laid in bed with me in my mom's bed, who she shares with her husband, and held me while I was crying for mercy because I didn't know how to stop the feeling that I was feeling. It was horrible. Needless to say, I went to rehab, okay? I went to Springfield. Thought I was going to change my life around. I did that for about 60 days. I got on Suboxone. I came back and was getting high within 2 weeks. And same shit, I went back to that guy. I thought I was in love. Fucking joke. Anyway, I'm a psychopath when it comes to men, truly. But anyway, I thought I was in love, so I went back to that guy. I relapsed again. Went to treatment again. This time, I decided I was going to stay in Springfield and try and turn things around. So I ended up staying in Springfield and living in a halfway house and getting on Suboxone. Well, I was up there and I got a job up there and everything else, and I was at a meeting. I'm kind of skipping forward on a little bit of parts because we were short on time, but I went to a meeting and saw this guy walking out, and I was like, hey. And needless to say, we started hooking up, and he was on Suboxone too. He was living in a halfway house and he was trying to get his shit together. He was from by St. Louis, right? And so we started dating and hooking up and whatever, and eventually I moved out of that halfway house and got my own apartment, right? And I was on Suboxone, and he eventually stopped taking it. Suboxone is, we'll just have to Google it, but it is buprenorphine. It is very, it's what you use to help with your withdrawals and come down off heroin or opiates. Anyway. And I moved in with him. Needless to say, we were getting high within like a month. We pretty much lost everything in that apartment. I remember it was, we were watching the same fucking episodes we had on DVD. I will never watch a vampire show. Not Vampire Diaries, but I can't remember. I'll never watch it again because I remember just the darkness and the horrific memories of just laying there sick all the time in Springfield with no money, no job eventually. And I remember one night we were laying there trying to figure out probably where we're going to get our next fix. And he said, something's different about your body. He's like, maybe you should take a pregnancy test. This is how out there I was. I didn't even remember when my last period was, okay? My parents probably knew that I was on bullshit in Springfield, and my family probably knew I was on bullshit in Springfield, but they were probably tired of dealing with me, so they just let me do my thing there. Well, I had to steal the pregnancy test, if that tells you how fucking poor we were and how broke we were, and God forbid if we spend the last $5 we have on a Dollar General pregnancy test. But I stole the finest of the finest, okay? Clear blue, baby. But anyway, you guys, it said 3 to 5 weeks, and I was like, what the fuck am I gonna do? I didn't even think I could have kids. I really didn't. But apparently I got knocked up when I was healthy and on that Suboxone, and well, as soon as I found out, about a week later, I went to treatment again, and because I wasn't gonna put my child through that, right? So I went to treatment, medically detoxed the proper way to where it wouldn't hurt him, and Justin stayed and tried to keep up with the apartment and had my car. Well, that didn't last long because I remember one time, right? I was in treatment. I had a fucking fever blister, right? Or a toothache. And he's like, I was like, I need you to bring me something. I have a severe toothache and they don't have any Orajel here. This motherfucker comes into the rehab facility, brings me fucking shit for fever blisters. I'm like, I said I had a toothache. Oh, well, I thought it was a Orajel. It's not. I said, it's fucking a Breva, dumbass. I was like, how do you get those two mixed up? So he'll say he was getting high still and wasn't trying to do anything to fix his life. And here I am carrying his child, not knowing what the fuck I'm going to do with mine. So I get out of treatment and I just like, fuck him. I said, pack all my shit in my car, get out of the apartment, give me my car, and I'll get the fuck on with my life. I move home and pretty much just kind of chill at my mom's house until it was almost time to have Axton. I was on Subutex the whole time. It's kind of like Suboxone. It just doesn't have the naloxone in it, which isn't as potent as Suboxone. So I went in and the doctors knew my story. They knew I was on that, but Axton, I think I was just too tiny, really, to have them vaginally. So I had to have a C-section scheduled and be induced, right? Well, I was scheduled to be induced. The C-section was an emergency because I was pushing and pushing and nothing was happening. Anyway, I go to have a C-section, and I didn't feel them cut me, but I felt everything else, right? And mind you, Justin comes to see his son be born, higher than a kite, almost gets in a fight with my sister. Because, I mean, he's just a fucking idiot. Like, literally, you can't even hide the fact that you're high. when it comes to Justin. You know what I mean? Like, he just tries to deny it, and it pisses you off even more. But anyway, I go back to have emergency C-section. My mom's like, I'm going. Justin, stay out here. Justin really didn't have much room to say anything besides, okay. But anyway, I feel her do everything else, pulling my insides and shit like that. So needless to say, I had to be put out because I think the subutex counteracted, and I was feeling everything was in tremendous pain. So when I woke up, they placed my baby boy in my arms, and it wasn't just about me anymore. My whole world changed. But since having a C-section, I was on opiates, and when we came home and the Vicodin ran out, I was at my mom's house, and the same story happened all over again. I was like, I don't like this feeling. I want to get high. I'm tired of feeling like sick. I'm just tired of feeling dope sick, man. I'm tired of having that feeling. And, of course, your brain doesn't think, well, if you stay off of them, when you get medically detoxed, you wouldn't feel like shit. You know what I mean? But your brain doesn't process that when you're in the middle of an addiction. So I ended up going where Justin was by St. Louis because this time he was still out getting high and living by St. Louis in Alton, Illinois, right? And I had accident this time. Needless to say, it was just a shit show after shit show, and I had accident with me. I mean, I put my son through a lot of trials and tribulations that I probably won't go into detail with because it's still a very sensitive and sore subject.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, I almost got my kid taken away because of all of this. On February 2nd of last year, I got into a bad car wreck and had OD'd. And my son was thankfully with my mother at the mm-hmm. time of
me,
my wreck.
Yeah, me, your brother, and your mom.
I don't remember a lot from this day, but I was coming back from getting my fix, and apparently was going 60 miles into a culvert and went 300 feet into a ravine, right? And I remember the airbag smacking me in the face, but I remember it didn't hurt. That's how high I was, okay? It's not funny.
It's really not.
Because I literally OD'd, and if the guys behind me, which my brother knew, I guess, but the guys behind me came up and pulled up on me and saw that I was unconscious and saw my paraphernalia sitting in the passenger seat and called 911. I woke up to a cop writing out all my tickets next to me. I'm like, are you going to take me to jail? He's like, no. He's like, I think you're going through enough. My mom comes, makes sure I'm alive. She said, I'm fucking done with you. I closed the bank account because me and her had separate accounts, but we were on the same account to where she could just transfer me money all the time. But she's like, I'm done with you. You can do this by yourself, right? Because throughout all that time, my mom was the biggest supporter I had. Not really an enabler per se, but the one that never left my side. That's a fact. And I woke up from that. Remember saying I had to walk home. Well, the cop was nice enough to give me a ride to the gas station. I still live on the other side of town. I was like, just take me as far as you can take me, dude. And he's like, I'm going to have to stop at the gas station and let you out here. I was like, all right, well, at least let me close up my hospital gown. And let me get out of here. Let me get out of your hair. And I had to go home and break into my own house. And mind you, the cops took all my drugs. And 3 days later, I called my sister. I was like, look, if I go get help far away, will you make sure accident's taken care of if mom can't do it? And let me tell you guys, no matter how deep and dark I was getting, my love for my son never faded, but I can honestly say that the love I had for my addiction was more potent than being a mother. I wouldn't say it was more potent for the love of my son, but it definitely made it put it aside.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would go to the end of the world for my son now, and tell myself I'm not going to cry, but I just wanted to make sure he was going to be safe and taken care of if I go away. So I did something different because obviously Springfield was not working. I had a guy help me get down to Florida. So I go down to Florida with the mindset, I'm done with this drug. I don't want to live like this anymore. All I want to do is be a mother to my son, okay? His dad's obviously never going to get his shit together, so it's got to be me. And I don't care to be mom and dad. I just don't want it to mess up my son. You know what I mean? And I don't want him to have to fucking explain to people that his mom OD'd and died from drugs so she couldn't get clean to help be my mom. I never wanted to have my son be put through that or my family. So I went to Florida. I stayed down there for about 4 months. It was hard on everybody. It was hard on my sister's family raising my son, too. It was hard on me being away from my son. It wasn't all rainbows and fucking butterflies down there. But I worked my ass off. I worked my steps. I went to meetings. I lived in a halfway house. I was dedicated. And I came home in, when was it? Like probably March or June, or I mean June.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I went in March and I had to stay and complete because I had all these charges, so I made sure I completed my inpatient and outpatient, right? So I come home and I've been clean ever since. I've been through hell and back trying to get full custody back of my son. Like I said, on the 5th I'll have 18 months. And yeah, it's been hard, but the main thing I've wanted to do is get drunk from time to time, okay?
Yeah.
But, of course, the cravings and triggers are still there, but my son is way more important. And now, I have a lovely house, which we're sitting in right now. I'll have full custody on November 21st of my son. And he has his mommy back, you know what I mean? I didn't know how to fix myself prior, but honestly, people say you can't get clean for your kids, but I did. You know what I mean? Because I didn't love myself enough to get clean for myself. I love my kid enough to get clean for myself so I could be a mommy to him because I had the most beautiful, wonderful kid. And now he gets to see me clean and sober. He'll never have to see me get high. So that's a blessing. So anybody struggling, there is always hope. I mean, you can go get help. There's connections everywhere. And like I kind of shared on my Facebook today, it feels like an endless tunnel with no light. But if you just take 2 seconds, but unfortunately, it takes a traumatic event for us to realize, okay, we cannot live like this because it's either jails, institutions, or death.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just know that I worked my ass off to get where I am today. I had to do a lot of counseling. I had to do a lot of court dates. I had to do a lot of parenting classes. I had to do a lot of ups and downs and a lot of jumps through hoops. I mean, you've been there. I mean.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of shit that went on even when you were sober that I really didn't think you would make it through.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, me either. And to sit here and, like, get stressed out when there's below negative $500 in my account because I want to make sure me and Axon are okay financially. Okay, I would have killed a year ago to have $500 in my account. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, my whole mindset has changed. And I guess I've matured a little bit. I mean, that wreck scared the shit out of me. I could have died. I mean, I didn't care to be dead, but I didn't want my son to have to go through that. So I've worked my ass off. I have a good job. Yes, it's time-consuming. I'm working on a better opportunity for me and my son. But he goes to daycare. He's happy. He's fed. He gets love from my mom, my stepdad, me, you. My whole family makes up for his dad not being around. And, mm-hmm. I mean, really, I am working my ass off, and I can honestly say I'm fucking proud of myself because not a lot of moms. I think the recovery for heroin addicts is 20%. A lot of them don't get clean. They either die or stay high. You know what I mean? And I'm one of those that got out because that bitch is the devil. And like I said, if you're struggling, you guys could always message me, and I'll try to help you the best I can because there is a way, man. But so that is where I'm at right now and where I've been. I left out quite a bit of graphic details because it's not necessary, but that just kind of gives you an overview of all the shit I've been through. You know what I mean? Look, Ma, we made it.
We have been through it together. Yeah.
Like I said, Elena's seen me at my worst, dude. Yeah. The worst.
The worst.
When she was dating my brother, man. I mean, I was bad.
I fucking hated you. I could not stand you.
Well, I don't blame you. I was probably comatose the time.
You made me so mad. But there were some times in your little sober weeks. Where we would hang out, and I really liked you, and then you wouldn't be sober anymore. It made me upset, but.
Yeah, it didn't last long. It was.
No.
If I was sober, I wasn't happy about it. You just didn't know. I was probably in excruciating pain. I remember one night, I vomited like 72 times. How's that even humanly fucking possible? I was over at my best friend Ashley's house. She can bow. I puked so much. It was obviously ended up being dry heaving, but I was like, how can your body fucking come up with this much gags, dude? Okay, so The other day, I got pulled over because I'm a total fucking dumbass. Let's be honest. I'm on the phone with Elena, right? And we're like talking about iTunes and getting excited and whatever. And I have my phone up. I'm going to get coffee. I just dropped Axton off at daycare. And I don't know how long this cop was even behind me, but I was like, Elena, I gotta go. I'm getting pulled over. I was like, I gotta go. I'll talk. She's like, okay, bye. And Elena, mind you, has had a ticket for being on her phone while driving, and it is a moving violation, and it is expensive. How much did you have to pay?
Like $160.
That's not as much as I thought it was going to be. But still.
Yeah.
I don't have $160 to give to the courts.
Neither.
But, so I pull over into the coffee shop where I was originally heading. He pulls up, it's a state cop. I'm like, first of all, what is he even fucking doing in town? Isn't your jurisdiction out on the fucking highway or something? But anyway, he pulls up. He's like, license and registration. I was like, first of all, why are you pulling me over? Look, guys, I knew why he was pulling me over, but I wanted to make sure me and him were on the same page of things. I want to know if he knew something that I didn't. But he's like, because you were clearly talking on your cell phone and had it way up in the air. So immediately, I get into defense mode. I'm like, okay, well, I have a Bluetooth device, and I was on the phone with my friend Elena, and I was trying to get better service so she could hear me because she couldn't hear me. But I really do have a hands-free Bluetooth device. He's like, yeah, but it's hands-free. And he's like, just give me your license and registration. So I did. And he's like, he looked at my insurance. He's like, I'm just going to give you a warning. He's like, have you ever had a warning for being on your phone? And I lied. I was like, no. But when I thought about it, I was like, I really don't know. I couldn't remember. But, so he gave me a warning, and I got lucky. I called Elena back. She's like, you're lucky because that's a moving violation. I was like, yeah, well, I definitely needed to be more conspicuous about it. But right after I got coffee, I pulled out and got coffee. He pulled out in front of me, zooming, which was kind of rude, I thought, because I had to hit my brakes, and went and pulled somebody else over. So he was just trying to get somebody pulled over, I think. I don't know. I don't know what else he could have been thinking. But, I mean, I know I was in the wrong, but I don't know why he pulled somebody over right after me if he wasn't trying to make his quota. But that kind of reminds me, whenever we were talking about my story or whatever, the other day, Elena sends me a picture, and she works at the liquor store, right, and it's across from Subway. She sees this car. Go ahead, Elena.
I just saw this car, and there were two cop cars sitting there with their lights on flashing. This lady was just standing there. And I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? And then they bring the dog out.
Not the dog. Not the dog. She calls me, and because she sends me a picture of it. I'm like, what the fuck is that even? I couldn't even. It was the shittiest quality of pictures you could send somebody. But I was like, what is that? What's going on? She's like, someone's getting arrested. There's like three cop cars there. I'm like, first of all, why does there need to be three?
And by the time they left, there were five sitting there, so.
I didn't even know we had that many cops in our town.
I don't even know why there needs to be five fucking cop cars for one drug bus.
Well, kind of what I was getting at, you said the dog was out. I remember whenever I was out there, like, still with Justin, we got pulled over. And they can make the dog, I don't care what they say, they can make the dog hit, you know what I mean? And I had a 2013 Dodge Dart, barely. Like, I was way behind on payments. I'm surprised it didn't get repoed. And, of course, I was high, and he was like, I'm going to get my dog out and see if he hits, and if he does, we'll have a reasonable cause to search your car. Because I told him, no, you can't search my car. His little fucking German Shepherd was gnawing with his claws on my 2000. I'm like, can you please not have your dog scratch the shit out of my paint? He's like, well, how am I gonna know? He's not scratching your paint, man, but how am I gonna know if he hits? I'm like, I don't know, maybe get him declawed. I was like, he doesn't need fucking his toenails to see if there's drugs in my vehicle. It stressed me out that time. I remember just thinking, if this dog scratches the paint on my fucking Dodge Dart, I'm gonna freak out. Needless to say, that drug bust that Elena saw, what'd they bring out on top of her car?
I don't know.
Was it like
I saw it on Facebook, and it was All they put was paraphernalia.
Well, they were over there forever.
They were over there forever.
It's like, we gotta find something, guys. We gotta find something. And they sit something on top of her car, and they finally take her to jail. But I was just like, for one paraphernalia charge?
Mm-hmm.
We should have looked at and seen what the charges were and seen who it was, but we were slacking on that part. I don't know. I just know that, like I said, when you get pulled over, everybody knows about it. Like, literally, I don't even know this girl. And you and I were talking about it. Because it's just exciting because nothing exciting happens. Nothing exciting that happens here is mainly on social media. You know what I mean? Like, if an argument pops out with 464 comments, I'm reading them.
Yeah.
For sure.
Or when people break up every other day and then post about it on Facebook and make a status and then they delete it when they're back together 2 days later.
Honestly, I had this situation at work, okay? Literally, their Facebook status changed from in a relationship to single probably every 2 days. That's why I always just leave my shit single. You don't know what I'm doing outside of here. You don't. You don't know what I'm doing outside of Facebook, ladies and gents. Because I did the, like, when my Facebook memories pop up, I want to projectile vomit all over. I'm like, what was I thinking typing that for everybody in the world to see? Or posting that for everybody in the world to see? Like, there was some that popped up today. I'm like, okay, bye. I'm not sharing that one. Because I don't understand, like, I did back then, but, like, when you're a grown-ass adult changing your status every 30 seconds or arguing and putting your shit on social media, then wondering why everybody knows your business or wants to know your business. Like, literally no one cares if he cheated on you with Becky and got some Becky.
Like, there's this girl, and she just posts all the time. She's like, I don't do drugs. I don't smoke weed. I don't do blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, nobody fucking cares. Nobody is saying the shit about you. You're making it up in your head. You work at Casey's in Palestine for a living. Nobody's talking about
there.
You.
I work there.
Nobody's talking about you because you're not that important.
Facts. Facts. I mean, a lot of that's probably for attention. But first of all, why would you put that you don't smoke weed on social media? Because that's going to make people think, well,
maybe you do.
Yeah. Why are people thinking you smoke weed, bitch? I mean.
But don't get so defensive.
Don't get so defensive, Janet. God. I don't know. It just stresses me out whenever I see stuff like that. But then again, it is entertaining.
What else stresses you out on social media?
Okay. We don't give a shit how many times you're going to put your daughter in a fucking mermaid costume and post pictures of it. I'm like, look, Axton's my only child, okay? But, and yeah, granted he is a boy, but I'm not posting photo shoots of him every other week. Or like, I'm not going to get into specifics because then it'll really be obvious. And, but like, we get it. You think she's cute, you love her, you're happy, you guys are a happy-go-lucky family. But literally, that mermaid costume, first of all, is kind of slutty. Okay? And it's not the only one I've seen posted mermaids. Like, mermaid costumes. Like, if you want to have the cute pictures of your kids with mermaid costumes in the pond, or, because that's all our options are.
Yeah.
Put them in the pond. And go ahead and get some pictures taken. That's good. Do your thing. Make some cute photos of your children. But don't do it every other fucking week. When I saw that and I posted a tweet about it, it's like, Jesus Christ.
Nobody cares that much.
I mean, if you want to have them for your own self and maybe post a picture of it, but don't do that shit every other week because that's just annoying.
Annoying. I think you're talking shit, but really you're just stating straight facts about them.
I had that problem a lot.
There's a big fucking difference between talking shit and stating facts.
Like, anything I say, I'll say it to your face.
Exactly.
I mean, you know what I mean?
And that's what happened. But the difference between talking shit and stating facts is talking shit is like saying like they're a bitch or some bullshit like that, which could also be a fact. But I mean, like, talking shit is like, I would count that as degrading somebody or something, or like really ranting and venting about them. And then stating facts is just like, yeah, it could be part of venting, but it's like, it's a fucking straight fact,
like,
when you're venting.
Like, give me an example of what you mean. Go ahead, do it.
Well, at school, we have these jobs we have to do at the end of the day, all right? So the school doesn't look like complete shit because we do hair. There's color everywhere. There's fucking hair everywhere. Mannequin heads everywhere, whatever. Anyway, and there's always these group of girls that don't do their job, which half the time I don't do mine either, but when there's this one certain job, it's like, you have to do it or people are going to know you don't fucking do it.
Yeah.
Because it's so, it's such a big job. Anyway, so she didn't fucking do it, and so I said that this girl was supposed to be doing it with her, and she's like, I've been doing this by myself, and I'm like, I'm not surprised by that, because these other girls don't help. And I said that to her, and I guarantee she went back and said I was talking shit about her. That's not talking shit. That's fucking stating a straight fact. You don't do your fucking job. That's not talking shit.
Well, okay, it would be talking shit if you weren't available to say that to her face. You know what I mean? Like, that could be considered talking shit only if you didn't plan on, I'll tell you guys, you guys don't do your fucking cleanup job.
Yeah, if it's not something you'll say to their face, that's talking shit.
Yeah. I mean, like, everybody's all the time, it's like, you're such a bitch, and you're talking shit. Anything I say behind Juanita's back, I will tell Juanita to her face.
Me too.
You know what I mean? I try to be a little bit more respectful nowadays and try to not get into the fucking drama, because
yeah.
At my job, it's drama central. I swear to God, it's like being in high school.
It's exhausting going to school with a bunch of girls, too.
I can only imagine. Fuck that. But I just know that...
drama everywhere. It's fucking annoying. You know the difference between talking shit and stating facts, and we'll all be happy. Because I can still like you and still not like something you do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's very true. I mean, there's things that you do that I don't like.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
There's things that you do that I don't like.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We're still fucking friends.
Best friends. Let me tell you about my best friend. Let me tell you about my best friend.
Guys, our record deal is coming soon.
Absolutely. You can find us at the Backwoods Barbies. So we're going to do a photo shoot. When is it?
Monday.
Monday. Next Monday. We don't know what we're going to do. We're going to end up in the woods somewhere. I can tell you that.
Might end up in the pond with mermaid suits on.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. No. But, we're pretty stoked about that. Did you guys see the Cam drew us? That was actually very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Cam is Elena's man, and he does the editing for this and kind of helps us along with it. But he's going to do a photo shoot because he has a very expensive camera that...
we don't have.
Exactly. You got a Polaroid, don't you? but I just... I'm pretty stoked about that because we want to have a new picture.
Give us ideas on what we should do, because this is going to be our new cover art.
Yeah. You guys, like I said, we are on iTunes, we are on Spotify, and we are on Google Play, did you say?
I guess that's what it says. I haven't listened to it all.
And we are on Anchor. We're going to try and make sure everything is tied into where you can access that on all our social medias. Everything is on one of our social medias to get to the Backwoods Barbie social media.
Yeah.
But definitely make sure you subscribe to our Apple podcast. Just get on there and subscribe. And
it gives you notification of when we post a new episode.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And we're going to try and do that every Monday. If not, it'll be every other Monday. But we're definitely going to try and stick to every Monday.
Yeah.
So we just want to make sure that you guys are doing, like, having the right accounts and listening in the easiest way possible. Like, if you have an iPhone, I feel like Apple Podcasts would probably be the easiest way.
Yes, for sure.
But Spotify is free. I mean, you don't have to pay for it to listen to us. It is a easy way to access us also, because you have to download the Anchor app, which, I mean, isn't a pain either. But we just want to make sure that you guys have the easiest access to listen to us. And we have an email link to our Instagram, or you have the option to email us. Or you can tweet us, or you can Instagram message us, or you can Facebook message us. Definitely let us know if what you think, good or bad. Just don't be a fucking dick or a bitch about it.
Yeah.
Just state the facts, okay? Let us know what you think, and let us know how we are doing, and let us know what you guys want to hear about, what you guys want me to talk about, and what you guys want Elena to talk about. I mean, we are open to ideas. We are open to new suggestions. I mean, like I said, this is new for us, and it's kind of popping off more than I thought.
Yes, I was not expecting 100 plays on our first episode.
That's lit, you know what I mean? Like, people want to hear our voices, our sweet, sexy voices.
Yeah.
My dad was like, how do I listen to this podcast? I was like, you don't. I don't want you to.
Your aunt.
Same with my aunt Pat.
Your most Christian aunt ever.
I was like, you don't need to figure it out, Aunt Pat. You can't. Not with this one, okay? Like, my Aunt Pat is so blunt. And I don't think she is.
She'll tell you how.
Like, she'll put on my Facebook. She'll be like, congratulations on staying clean, Carly, and not doing drugs and getting high. But, like, that's her genuine, like...
I'm every like, time.
Thanks. And I just, I don't know. But anyway, definitely give us information of what you want to hear about, what you want to talk about. And we hope that you guys love this episode. And like I said, I got really vulnerable with you guys. And, like, I went to as much detail as I could in the time limit that we had. But we definitely, definitely wanted to share that story with you guys because it is a big part of who I am. Mm-hmm. So we need ideas for next week's episode. Until then, we're going to get off here. Until next time, guys.
Bye.
If you want to waste time, baby, waste your time with me in California. Hey, baby, waste your time with me in California.